It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 17, and we're in the 24th verse, Matthew 17, 24. And so if you'd please look that up in your Bible so you can study right along with us, it'd be wonderful. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us here at the church, 217-847-2717. If you'd like to check out our website, love for you to do that, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. I'd love for you to take a look at that, and if you'd love to email us on something you found or enjoyed, because I hope that you can come to know the Lord Jesus and then grow in the Lord Jesus as well. And again, that's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Also, you can go to parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com and send us a note. We'd love to hear from you. Matthew chapter 17, Matthew chapter 17, beginning to read with verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" And he said, "Yes." And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" And Peter said to him, "Of strangers." Jesus said unto him, "Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Take it and give it unto them for me and thee." And so we're going to end the reading with that, the end of the 17th chapter there. And we're going to begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity to study your precious word. Just please guide and lead us each and every day. Such a joy, Father, to walk each day, to spend time with you in your word, to spend time in prayer. Please, that you just guide and lead us each and every day, Father, please. Bring people to the Lord Jesus, to your Son Jesus, as we are enjoying this study today, and through your precious word and power, that your Holy Spirit can touch their hearts, and then help them, Father, to grow. And this, we're living in a very difficult time, and the only way that we can enjoy that time is to enjoy it, serving you and walking with you each and every day, learning from you. And so please, guide and lead us now, dear Lord, please. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a wonderful message here that we have. And many times as a child, why, you remember these stories here, how that the fish was caught and the money was taken out of the fish's mouth and paid the tax. And so we've kind of a little bit familiar with that. But let's take our time here and really enjoy it today. And so we find here in Matthew that when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" Now we could go to Mark 12:13. Mark 12:13 is the only other gospel that makes reference of this. In 12:13, we find here that they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his word. And when they were come, they said unto him, "Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give?" But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it. And they brought it, and he saith unto them, Whose is the image and superscription? And they said to him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. And so that's what we have here in Mark concerning the giving and the paying of tax. And then we have something very similar on in Matthew 22 and Luke 20. But when we come back to this here in Matthew, it is really a neat thought here, because to begin with, who did they come and ask the question to? They did not come to the Lord Jesus, but they directed the question to Jesus. They came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? So when we look at this, and to begin with, let's back up and see what this tax here refers to. This tax is not a tax for the government, for Rome. This tax is a tax for the temple. Some call it a temple tax. They collected this half of shekel, if you'll remember, of silver, and it was collected back at the very first time of building the tabernacle, back at the time of the original Passover, the first Passover. And so it was to be given, and when it is a half a shekel of silver, then silver in the Word of God stands for the precious blood. And so for each to give a half a shekel back, and that was required in order for you to partake in any of the activities at the temple, at the tabernacle of the time. It was the building of the tabernacle. I have always loved the picture of the tabernacle, because the very foundation of the tabernacle, the blocks, that the boards, the acacia overlaid with gold boards, had little tenons, and they would set down into these blocks. But these blocks was placed on the ground, kind of in the dirt, and that was the foundation for the tabernacle. All of the tabernacle rested upon this foundation, and this foundation was silver. And we need to understand that what that means to you and me. That means that the foundation of Christianity, our foundation, is set upon the precious blood of Jesus. Now, you can enjoy the study back in Exodus and Leviticus, and then you can come on up to Hebrews and enjoy a further study in the New Testament concerning this tabernacle and the picture that the Lord Jesus and who he is and the picture that this gives us back in the tabernacle. But, and so from that time on, there was a tax collected, and that tax that was collected, I'm sure it was not collected during the 70 years of captivity in Babylon, but when they were back in their land, back in Jerusalem, and when they had a temple or the tabernacle, they were required to give of this half a shekel of silver. Now here we find that they are coming to Peter and requesting, who, does your master believe in paying this tribute? And to them it was a law, it was a requirement, And so are you paying that? Again, it was called on Peter, and the question was, doth not your master pay tribute? So it suggests that it was a question of, I don't think he does, but surely your master should if he does not pay a tribute. And Peter's answer here, and it was an immediate answer, and that answer was yes. Now, I don't know that Peter could say that. Was this something that was dealt with each year? Is this something that is still required? Because the half a shekel was a one-time event back for the tabernacle and for the building of the tabernacle, because many things were made of silver, but especially the foundation. And again, silver in the scripture stands for blood. When you look at that beautiful old tabernacle, gold stands for deity, the wood stands for humanity, and the lampstand was pure gold, the mercy seat was pure gold. And the only thing that was applied on that mercy seat, the mercy seat was laid upon the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. I hope that you've studied this. I know I'm just kind of bringing some things that maybe you're not real familiar with, because you come in and the first room is the holy place. And that is where the table of showbread, lampstand, the incense altar was found. And then there was a veil. And then the veil, you go into the Holy of Holies. And there was the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. The only time that the high priest, the priest never went into the Holy of Holies. The high priest went in one time on the Day of Atonement. And when he went in twice, once for himself with the blood of a bullock, sprinkled it seven times after he had confessed his sins. The second time he went in with the blood of a goat, and he sprinkled again seven times on that mercy seat. You see, we always have to have the blood. So it's a beautiful picture that we have here. And when you study the tabernacle, it is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is also a beautiful picture of the life of a believer after you have come by faith to Jesus, because we become of the royal priesthood. That's told back in Hebrews. And so we need to understand these things. We need to enjoy these things. And we need to see the beautiful blessing we have. Somewhere along the line, they began to collect a tax. And again, it was not for the government, it was for the temple. Now, the giving of the tithes that was back in the Old Testament, that was given to the Levitical line. It was given to them for the purpose of their livelihood, because there are 12 tribes, 11 of them gave to the tribe of Levi. Now, when you count the land, you're going to count 12, and the tribe of Levi has no land, because Joseph received a double blessing, and Ephraim and Manasseh each received equal portions of land. So there are 12 that are giving to the Levitical line. And so that support, when each would give 10%, it should have been adequate to take care of the Levites, the tribe of Levite, and it should have been enough to take care of the tabernacle and the temple. But there was a tax given. There was a collection made. It was some of it was done during David's time as he collected materials to build the temple. Solomon finished David's temple, called Solomon's Temple. And there was much tax or collection during that time. But where this came from, we're not real sure. But it's quite a response that Jesus gives of this. He says, yes, Peter said. And then when he's come into the house, so it appears that he was outside, Jesus and the other disciples were inside, and here was Peter. They came to him, and they had this question for Peter. Doth your master pay tribute? Well, sure he does, Peter said. Well, then he goes into the house and tells about to tell Jesus what he had said. They came. I said yes. I mean, because that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, it's a law. And so we have to keep the law. Well, many times it was the law of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the law of the Sanhedrin. It was not a law that God had put into place. However, before Peter could say anything, Jesus knew the words. Jesus knew what was said outside between the other men that came and Peter. And so it tells us here, he prevented him saying, in other words, he stopped him from saying anything, and Jesus answered the question before Peter asked the question or made the statement. What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Now that was the question. Now again, remember, this is for the temple. This isn't something for the government, and yet Jesus applies it to the king. And so he asked Peter this question, thinkest thou, Simon, or Simon Peter, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? Well, it was custom of the day that the children, the relatives of the king, paid no tribute, paid no tax. Only those that were of the, lived in the area, they called them strangers. But their own children do not. Again, Peter came immediately, asked the question. Here's the question that Jesus brought back to him, and of his own children or of the strangers. The answer was simple. The family of the king never paid. Only the subjects, only the strangers or those that were under the rule, not necessarily the ones that were citizens, but if you resided there, that's where you paid your tax. And so that was the question. So the subjects, not the king's family, but all those that were subjects, those that were the peasants, so to speak, and those that were strangers, maybe of a different nationality, but yet they resided there. They were required. That was the answer. And Jesus, in Jesus asking that question, then Peter's answer was of strangers. In other words, of all but the king's men. Should he who was the king's son, come under the rule of ordinary people and pay a tribute of money to his father? The answer Peter gave was no. So the question would come, should Jesus pay tribute for himself, for God? This is for the temple. The royal blood is free from paying. That was not quite the response. Peter said, of strangers. And Jesus answered, then are the children free? And his response would have been yes. And what Jesus was getting, his point that he was making was, I'm the king's son. I'm the son of God. Should I? And also, since you are born again, Peter, should you pay a tribute? We are the children of the king. Should we pay a tribute? And I'll read once again my little note here. Should he who was the king's son come under such a rule? Should he pay tribute? Again, the strangers here do not refer to necessarily foreigners, but those people who basically all that are not of the royal family. Jesus' response, the children are free. Peter's response was. Jesus was aware that the money was for the temple service. It was money service for God. And see, he was the only begotten Son of God for whom the money was given. It would seem that the law would not require him or his children to pay. That would be the proper way. I do not need to pay. Verse 27. Notwithstanding, lest we offend them, Jesus said, we don't need to pay. Because it's like paying ourselves. And we are the children. You're the children. I'm the son of the king. That's his reference here. I'm the son of God. So even though we are not required to do this, we don't want to upset them. We don't want to make this a big deal. So we will pay. Go thou to the sea and cast a hook. Take up the fish. Did you realize that this is the first reference to anyone? You know, how many times, I don't like to stop like that, but how many times do we hear that they went fishing? They went fishing. You hear that time after time after time. They went fishing. But any time they fished in the Sea of Galilee, they used a net. There was so much for the fish to feed upon. That's the reason fishing was such a big industry, because the fish were good. They were well fed. But for you to put something on a hook and put it out into the water, you're never going to catch anything, because the fish have so much to eat. They won't take a second look at a hook or something that's on the hook. So no one fished with a fishing pole and a hook. So this request here that Jesus gave to Peter was kind of strange. He said, you go fishing, and the only way Peter ever knew how to fish was with a net. He said, take a hook, throw a line out, you're going to catch a fish. Take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou opens his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take it and give it to them for me and for thee. First time, as always, it's just a miracle. Once again, it's here for the sweet purpose, the wonderful purpose of showing the power of God. Do something that never is done. You go, put a hook in the water. Immediately, there was a fish on the hook. You bring the hook in, bring the fish into land, open his mouth, and you're going to find money. Now, the money that you find there will pay our tax, will pay our tribute. We don't need to, but we don't want to cause any problems, any questions. So take the money and give it for our tribute. And if you'll notice, it's very clear that take and give unto them for me and thee. So it was adequate tribute for those that were with him, and adequate for the Lord Jesus, that way there's no question. Because the world doesn't believe in God. The world doesn't believe in the Son of God. And so he said, I don't want this to be a problem. He says, go fishing, open the fish's mouth, you're going to get the money out, take the money, give it, and give it for me and for them. There's no question. No question. Jesus never performs a miracle to benefit himself, for comfort in some way, or for gain in some way. There is always a definite purpose for our Lord Jesus to perform a miracle. And the way our God, the way the Lord Jesus performs miracles, he always will perform it in a manner that is never possible. It is impossible for man to perform. It just can't be. That's what the Lord Jesus, that's what he does. He does it when it can. It's something impossible. No one, there's not going to be a fish on that hook. It makes no mention he put any bait on it. There was no reason to put any bait on it because that fish was going to jump onto that hook just as soon as Peter put it in the water. You'll notice Peter didn't question it, even though it was something that was ridiculous. It was something that was foolish to do. But he did it. And he received the wonderful blessing of watching God perform a miracle. So it is said back in Mark, give Caesar what is Caesar's. Here it was directed towards the church, towards the temple. And whether it was a legitimate tax, whether it was something that they had brought forward in the scripture, because we know at the very, very beginning, God required them to give a half a shekel of silver, every individual. It was a very small amount that everyone could give. And whether that was carried forward or they just established something to bring in more money, and trying to trick the Lord Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?